You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones. And now, your host, Matt Bracken.
Okay, I'm back with Victor Boot, and I wanted to explore a little bit and compare the Ukraine war and the Iran war in several aspects. You know, there's a saying, I believe it's Napoleon, he said, the morale is to the material as 3-1. I think that's I'm remembering that, but meaning the morale, the psychological health of a society, of your army, is 3 times more important than the logistics. And the United States, in the beginning of the Vietnam War, in the early 60s, was an extremely patriotic country. We were still remembering Second World War, Korean War, and there was a draft, conscription. Soldiers were drafted, they didn't complain, they put on the uniform. The beginning of Vietnam, the first years of Vietnam War, was very high morale and high patriotism, but it was ground down. This patriotism was ground down and wasted in a kind of a no-win situation. With a lot of memories now or comparisons to the Iran war, where the Pentagon press briefing is how many bombing raids, how many sorties, how many attacks. But, you know, they said in Vietnam, we won every battle and lost the war, right? So we're now coming into this Iran war, and the morale is already terrible and against this war, whereas we went into the Vietnam war with great morale and lost it. We're now starting a war with terrible morale, a war of choice that we're the aggressor. And in Russia, as a carry-on from the Soviet Union days, the victory parades in May, it's not just a big parade in Moscow. Every city and town, the veterans are honored. The Great Patriotic War, which was a war of annihilation against the Soviet Union and Russians, that they survived it, and every Russian today can say my great grandfather, my great uncle was killed, or you know, is a veteran. In Iran, their Great Patriotic War is the 8-year war from 1980 to 1988, which was Iraq invading Iran when Iran was still very in a state of flux and confusion after the revolution. Their standing military, the Shah's military, had been disbanded. There wasn't really a new military yet. And this is when both the Soviet Union and America were afraid of this new Ayatollah regime. So both supported Saddam Hussein, primarily a CIA client. We even gave him chemicals to make sarin gas to use on Iranians. And they didn't surrender. The very key oil fields and gas fields and oil infrastructure is right at the union of Iraq and Iran. So when coming in 100 kilometers into Iran takes their best territory for gas and oil. And the Iranians did not surrender. They did not shatter as a people. You know, that a formal backed military attacked them, and they had nothing like that. They had to fight essentially with their bare hands, and we mock this and say it's terrible, but even, you know, children going to the front. But the point is that culture didn't break, it didn't shatter. And today, the West in America, we think any country that takes this kind of punishment, they must be ready to surrender. We don't understand their mentality, that they're not going to surrender. They're not going to.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. As you mentioned, first of all, big underestimation that just starting the bombing, they're going to, you know, do the regime change. You know, and it's funny to watch, like the Trump saying, "Oh, I'm coming to liberate you," because you know all these protests orchestrated again by the West. Of course, in Iran there is also very vibrant democracy, and people feel free to go and protest. Yes, they protested about inflation. They protested about something, and the Trump saying, "Oh, you know," but when the protests cross the line, like anywhere else, you know, and start killing the innocent, or police, who, in matter of fact, was not stopping them from protesting peacefully, but somebody was supplying them with the guns. Somebody was supplying them, and the first day of the protest last year, there is a very big number of the first of all policemen was killed. You know, government official was killed. It's purely orchestrated eventually by Mossad and Western spy agencies, you know, attempt to cause a colored revolution. It doesn't went through. And usually
and in fact there were 50 there was 50,000 Starlinks. 50,000 50,000 Starlinks brought in. And this is key also in the Ukraine situation, because apparently with Russian help in the cyber realm, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps figured out how to locate these Starlinks, because the key of a Starlink is that it's not a radio like transmitting in omnidirection. It's a very tight focused beam going up, and then it clicks from satellite to satellite as they're passing, but the beam is very tight. So in order to locate the Starlinks and then take them out of the equation, this was a critical part of the January 2026 Iran riots to get rid of the Starlinks. And I wonder how that relates back to Ukraine with, you know, Elon Musk has terminated Starlink access on the Russian side. But to be able to locate these Starlinks, I think a lot of it has to do with how long they're used. That you can't just leave a Starlink like on your window, like a satellite television dish. If you have a Starlink and it's being used for a long time, it has a chance of being tracked than a military Starlink in Ukraine, where it's camouflaged, it's turned on for 30 seconds to make a link, used, and then it's either abandoned or. But this Starlink technology is really important, both in understanding what's going on in Iran and in Ukraine.
Correct, but you see, Iranians succeeded to, first of all, sort out that attempt, completely repel. But when the United States was pushed by Israel to start this attack, unprovoked, basically, you know.
The February 28 attack.
Correct. And what they did by killing the leadership, they thought that, oh, people will go on the street and, you know, protest and take power or do the regime change. In fact, it's happened opposite. People went on the street and consolidated around those who've been really telling, like, hey, doesn't matter what we're going to defend. They put aside all their differences, all their grievances, whatever they happen. And look, they are mobilized. Right now, Iranians are mobilized, I think, up to the 10 million volunteers. Part of them helping as a civilian volunteers to go through the rubbles, to clean up the streets, to, you know, distribute whatever is needed. But Iran had a very resilient system of the management, not only on the command on the high level of this, but everything is functional. You know,
the mosaic strategy.
But apart from this, all local authorities and the line of command, even for civilian part, are functioning. They're still distributing, you know, the special coupons which allowed people, you know, from lower income to have, you know, supplemental purchases of the food. They are really very well thought society with a social network. And think of this, price of the gas in Iran, it's like a, you know, fraction of what, you know, people paying in the United States. So,
yes, you
know,
to take a train from one side of Iran to another is $8, and to fill your gas tank is like not even $1. Even it
Correct,
may be
correct. So,
million reals or $1.
basically, Iranians like Russians, we want to be left alone and not be provoke for any aggression of this. So they're doing right, they're defending themselves, and they've been very well prepared for it. We need to give them the first of all the credit for their courage. For that, there is utmost we see no single big high-level treason going on, and definitely they withstand. Moreover, as you said, morale is a 1 to 3, or 3 to 1. So they have a very high level of the moral grounds. When the American troops who will send there, including for the ground operation, really in their hearts don't know what they're doing there. What kind of the national interest America have by occupying or destroying or killing, matter of fact, Iranians, or destroying their civilization like President Trump was threatening them. So this is just causing somewhere deep inside the blood of Iranians, like any other ones, like deep inside the blood of Russians, when enemy come to your land to protect it, to liberate your own people. Never let that happen. Yes, this is a vicious war, especially when the Israelis are bombing unnecessary civilian infrastructure, committing so many military crimes, war crimes, without even giving the thought, second thought, hey, why, what is a military purpose of this? Just to scare people off? Heck no, they would not be scared. So what, you're gonna punish the population? You're gonna kill the just civilians, and just a month ago or 40 days ago, you've been telling, "Oh, we're coming to liberate you," and now you want just to level entire Iran from the map. It ain't happening. So basically, this conflict, and the resilience which Iranian shows with their patriotism and firmness, put Trump into corner. He have no any good exit strategies at all, and doesn't matter what he gonna do to extract himself from this conflict will cause him to more and more damages. And if he would be honest man, okay, you must step forward, admit that this was an error, do the stuff, and at least negotiate in a good spirit. But what do you think from Iranians if they sent Kushner and the Witkoff to negotiate together with the GD Vance? And Kushner and Witkoff just negotiated with them while they knew that they're gonna kill next day their leadership. So
Yeah, the
how do you
sneak
think
attack.
Iranians, how are you gonna trust your negotiations? And
When I
I don't know. The risk was
grew
at
up,
least.
yeah, when I grew up, when I was in the 1960s and 70s, the thinking in the United States was about Hiroshima. Whenever the subject Hiroshima came up, we would say, "You Japanese started it at Pearl Harbor." Now, I know it's much more complicated. There were sanctions. Japan was being pushed into a corner with sanctions. But before that, they had invaded Manchuria. So it's nobody was perfectly like clean, like driven snow. But in the American mind, when you cross the line is Pearl Harbor, the kinetic attack, that is a sneak attack. And so Americans said, "You start the war with a sneak attack. Don't complain if we end it with an atom bomb. Don't start a war with a sneak attack." Okay. Now, February 28th, we did something in my mind worse than the Japanese because in December 7th, the Japanese broke the diplomatic relations before Pearl Harbor. Maybe not long before, but like half a day before. And if nobody in Washington is paying attention, they can say, "Well, that's your problem. You're not paying attention." To have your airplanes together at the airfield in Pearl Harbor. And they had to sneak, the Japanese had to come all the way across the Pacific. Very dangerous operation. At any point crossing the Pacific, some Pan Am China Clipper airplane or patrol aircraft can spot this fleet and the surprise is gone. So they took the risk coming all the way across the Pacific. And when they attacked Pearl Harbor, they were attacking with Japanese aircraft with the Japanese insignia right on them. And before the attack, they broke the diplomatic relations, no more negotiations. We left the negotiations and said, we'll see you on Monday, more negotiations. And then Saturday morning, we do the sneak attack. And we're now using the Israeli Gaza and Beirut rule, which is, oh, one man, and maybe he's in this apartment building, one man. So put a 2,000-pound bomb or Tomahawk missile in this building, because maybe one man that we want to kill is in this building. All the neighbors, family, we don't care. Like the schoolgirls that were killed in the first Tomahawk attacks. 170 schoolgirls in Iran. Sorry, but it was not a declared war. Not a declared war. Sneak attack. And when I grew up, sneak attack was like the black hat cowboy that shoots the other cowboy in the back. That's the sneak attack. An honorable cowboy, he doesn't shoot in the back.
Correct. First of all, yeah, you said there is an erosion of this, at least, you know, rules and tradition of the war engagement. As you said, there is no official announcement of the war. There is no official, you know, this, it was in midst of the negotiations. So this is completely nullified, you know, the trust or any international, I would say, tradition, or more than the law, because law was disregarded, international law, already for past 10 years, slowly, and it was completely dismantled by the Trump. But this is not end of it. I would even compare what's going on with this reptilian, you know, shifters or whatever you name it, you know, reptiloids, who really are in control, because such absence of the empathy, such absence of the, I would say, you know, any humanistic thoughts about, hey, why we need to do this, why we need to destroy, which is the true for Israeli regime, which is the true for those who in Pentagon planned this action, especially killing this girl in Iran in the school for no reason, and then still investigating without admitting, you know, yes, it's you know, was a mistake or something. No, it was very well planned. And eventually, this was a sacrifice to their, you know, a satanic cult of the innocent children, just to scare of the people of Iran, to say, hey,
yeah, and you know the Nuremberg trials in 1945-46, a lot of people are saying, well, you know, I don't care, I wish the Germans had won, and so forth. And I'm not even taking a position on the legality of the Nuremberg trials. People will say Soviet Union, they killed even more people than the Nazis. Okay, but the only thing I'm going to say is Keitel and Jodl and these other generals, Hermann Goering, when they started this war in 1939, attacking Poland, and then 1941, Barbarossa attacking Soviet Union, they never, or 1940, attacking France and attacking Battle of Britain with the air power, they never thought maybe we lose this war. And then we're going to be held responsible, and we're going to be hanged. And the hanged, which they were. Hitler is already dead, with, you know, killed in the bunker by his own hand, I think. But these generals never thought, maybe someday somebody will hold us responsible for this. And in the Nuremberg trial, and I'm not taking a position on the legality of, you know, having Soviets and Americans trying Germans, but the main charge is planning and waging a war of aggression, a war you start. You know, you attack Pearl Harbor, Poland. There is a peace. Maybe there's sanctions. Maybe there's economic warfare, but not tanks, not Stuka bombers, right? And when they were hanged, these German generals are hanged, the first charge is planning and waging and conducting a war of aggression, starting a
Correct.
War. And we started this war. We, America, started this war February 28th. And Franklin Roosevelt said September 7th is a date that will live in infamy. And I think February 28th is a date that will live in infamy.
Absolutely, you're absolutely right. But moreover, look, Matt, very important stuff is going on now, because now especially Germany is really trying to rebuild the another Reich, and
With what?
militarize themselves.
With what? With what?
Yeah, honestly, just like what, yesterday or today, even the chancellor of the Germany, Merz, was telling when he was meeting the Ukrainian president Zelensky, which is expired one, telling, oh, Ukrainian will win because we will do everything. And guess what? This is a grandchildren. He's a grandfather, and from both sides, being
And the
a
USA
Nazi.
and the and USA blew up the Nord Stream pipeline,
Correct.
with liquid natural gas on a ship costs four times more than liquid natural gas in a pipe. And the pipeline going to Germany was keeping Germany competitive with economically. And who destroyed Nord Stream pipeline? USA.
Correct. And
Our ally,
moreover,
USA.
look, the Germany wants to commit economical suicide. Eventually, they already committed. German industry are not any more competitive if you need to buy the LNG from United States. But guess what? Go and buy it now when Qataris is out of the market. So the price of
Right.
LNG tripled within the last month. So forget about all the, machinery building or chemistry, petrochemical industry in Germany, where we've been famous for. And right now, only way for them is, okay, let's go again, fight Russia. Maybe we grab their, resources.
How
Well,
can
let
they?
me tell you,
It's a
remember,
dream. It's fantasy. It's fantasy.
fantasy. But look,
And the US.
when Ukrainians would be finished this war, because the slogan, let's fight to the last Ukrainians, is literally, globalists don't think that Ukrainians are normal people. That's why they're catching them on the street, sending them to the Minsk grinder, and they, dying in a huge proportion. When you see when the Russia just recently did exchange of the bodies with Ukraine, it's always go 1 to 30, 1 to 50. Russia gave to
Sure.
Ukraine last time 1,000 bodies and received back 24. So are they talking about casualties? They're just
It's
killing
a
old
it, it's
people
a
and
it's a
why?
genocide. It's a genocide of Ukrainian men. And who are they going to
Okay,
replace
correct.
these men with? India, Pakistan, the
Not only
for
this, look, who, it's not even that, because when the Ukrainians will be over, finished, last Ukrainian will be dying, they're gonna, throw their Polacks, they're gonna throw Romanians, they're gonna throw, Slovakians, now Hungarians, if they would be stupid enough and buy this and drink this Kool-Aid of this suicidal sect who is running them, So this is Europe
I hope it doesn't
eventually.
finish. And, we only have 2 minutes, and I know you have
Correct.
thoughts, and I do too. Trump as a narcissist, he's got extreme ego problem, but I think he is blackmailed 100%, 100%.
Correct.
The Melania press conference was for her protection. She went
Correct,
out and said
because
this without for her protection. He's under blackmail control from Mossad. The Epstein is Epstein Mossad is the controlling of Trump 100%, I believe.
well, not only Trump, I guess the entire White House under in the direct control of the Israelis. Like Netanyahu was bragging, well, GD Vance called me from the plane returning from Islamabad to give me a report. They me
Puppet.
reporting me on every step of the process. So good
Puppets.
luck to. I think
And
in
that's why
America you need
Kushner
to
and
do.
Witkoff, Kushner and
Correct.
Witkoff were his handlers.
Yeah, but I think there is a time in America to start new liberation war. This time not against the crown, but against the Israeli
Zionists.
control of your
Okay.
government. And this
All
is.
right, we have only half a minute left to go, and I've really enjoyed this conversation. I hope we do it. Victor and I are both on X using our real names. Real Victor Boot and Matt underscore Bracken 48. So we're not afraid. We use our real name on the internet. And
Okay,
we'll
Matt.
see you on X.
Take care.
We have it all. Ultramethylene Blue, we have the best. The Shilajit, we have the best. The Turmeric, we have the best. We have the best spike protein, pro cardiovascular, ultimate life force. The best Irish sea moss gummies and capsules. Incredible. Research for yourself. We have the best at theultramethylene.com. And if you buy any of them, they're 50% off when you sign up for AutoShip. Cancel anytime. And you guarantee it never sells out. They hold it back. You get 50% off on future orders. And anybody that downloads for free the Android or the Apple app, you find both links to it at alexjonesapp.com. It's free. You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top of that. Now, I had to convince Bentley to do this. They were a little skeptical because they like to give you good deals, but not this good because it's loss leader when you use the app. But because we have an 80%+ reorder rate on things like Ultramethylene Blue, it's actually working because you get it, you love it, and you keep ordering. So these are great products. I want to induce you to try them. You know our information is hardcore. Try the products. It's just as hardcore. 1776 worldwide. We will crush the 1984 globalist system. God bless you all.